Log on to IRNUSANews.com.
Your family deserves wholesome organic food, and you shouldn't have to drive across town or spend all of your hard-earned cash to get it. Door-to-Door Organics brings you fresh organic fruits, vegetables, and groceries delivered straight to your door at a price you can afford. It's simple, convenient, affordable, and healthy. For delivery throughout Colorado, Michigan, the East Coast, and Kansas City, go to DoorToDoorOrganics.com. For $5 off your first order, use the coupon code 1360. That's DoorToDoorOrganics.com. Eat better, shop less.
With the pressures and excitement of the holidays, the likelihood of misusing or abusing drugs and alcohol increases. Practice moderation and common sense in celebrating the season at home or at parties, and especially behind the wheel on our roads or highways. That's from Restore Health and Counseling, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adults, and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening, and treatment and rehab. Visit Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street in Denver. Visit them online at www.rhctherapy.com or call them at 303-373-1188.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
The Brush Housing Authority in Brush reminds listeners to spend more time with an elderly member of our community. What better way to show you care than to remember a family member, friend, or neighbor? Checking on their welfare, making a phone call, or a simple visit can make all the difference in the quality of their life. This message was courtesy of the folks who care at Brush Housing Authority, who say our area is a great place to live, work, and raise our families, and they're doing their part to keep it that way. That's the Brush Housing Authority. For more information on programs, call 970-482-5046. 970-482-5046.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American. Great guest for you this morning. But before we go on, I wanted to share with you something I just saw on Prison Planet, Alex Jones' website. And there they have an interview with a couple who was on the plane with the terrorist who wanted to blow up the plane coming into Detroit. And they commented that they were sitting in the lobby of the airport, before they boarded the plane, wherever that was, why they saw this young boy coming up with a very well-dressed Indian man, the young boy who was, of course, the terrorist who tried to blow up the plane, went to the ticket gate but he didn't say anything. The well-dressed Indian man said, "This boy doesn't have a passport, but he's a refugee from Somalia. He's got to get on the plane." And the ticket agent said, "No passport, you can't get on. And so, you'll have to talk to our supervisor." And here's a man without a passport, and they're letting him on the plane. And they told the FBI, "You're never going to hear this elsewhere." Very believable couple, obviously bringing some young orphans, probably from Nigeria, into the country. So, but it's well worthwhile seeing this and realizing that it may very well be this boy didn't have a passport. We know that his father had already reported him as a potential terrorist. We know that he was on a terror watch list, but oh, shucks, they didn't bother to take away his visa. They didn't bother to give him special searching before he got on the plane. He was on the terror watch list, but not on the no-fly list. And then the other thing, of course, is that there was a fellow with a camcorder on the plane, just waiting to take the pictures when this whole thing went down. I mean, how many people have their camcorder out in the plane just waiting? Why would something like this be staged? I mean, certainly, if Al-Qaeda wanted to blow up a plane, you'd simply put the bomb in your luggage and trigger it off, with a cell phone at any time during the flight. You could do that. But Al-Qaeda is not a problem. Al-Qaeda was created by the CIA. Al-Qaeda was the Mujahideen who were actually recruited by the CIA to fight against the Soviets during the 1980 war in Afghanistan. And then, of course, they continued to be funded after that by the Pakistanis, by Saudi Arabia, and by the CIA. And there are all sorts of books written about this before September 11th and after September 11th of 2001. Never mentioned that the CIA and the Pakistanis and the Saudis were funding al-Qaeda. But where's the money coming for this today? I mean, where's the money coming to keep the Taliban and al-Qaeda going? You don't run a large terrorist movement without, of course, funding from someplace, from somebody. And, of course, we know that repeated articles about how al-Qaeda's funding is coming from al-Qaeda, for al-Qaeda's coming from the Pakistani intelligence, who's funding Pakistani intelligence. Why, ladies and gentlemen, you are. It's coming from the American taxpayers, that, and from the drugs there, which are being run by the CIA, the largest dealer in drugs in the world. We're purchasing the best enemy money can buy, just as we did with communism, just as we're doing today with communist China. Where did the money come to build up China? Why, it came from the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, from American banks, from American corporations, and all subsidized by our own government that gives the corporations special tax breaks when they move to communist China. Well, let's get to our special guest this morning, William Federer, who's a well-known author, certainly one of our favorite guests, and he has a fascinating story that you'll want to hear about Armenia. Hi, Bill. How are we doing this morning?
Oh, Dr. Stan, great to be with you.
Okay, you just pick up and tell the story.
Well, it sort of has ties to what's in the news today. The Islamic terrorism, the jihad, the concept is that's often overlooked is the ideology behind these terrorist suicide bombers. People forget that thoughts produce actions. Why do we have schools? Well, because we think that if we teach students certain things, it'll change the way they behave. The left has been using schools for their purposes of promoting their agenda for quite a long time. But if we see these individuals that are willing to blow themselves up, we have to ask ourselves what thoughts are going into their minds. And one of the things that keeps coming up again is fundamental Islamic thoughts that are in the minds of these individuals who attempt or commit terrorist attacks. Now, is there a bigger picture? Are they being used to create crises through which the governments can consolidate power in times of crises? That is a definite connecting of the dots. But these individuals that do these things do have a ideology that, if we look into, is one that wants to commit these attacks to have the whole world submit to Allah in their mind, their mindset. 100 years ago, this is 2009, so that would be 1909, there was a situation in Armenia. Armenia is a country that was located inside of Turkey. People forget that the Ottoman Turks took over lots of other countries. That beginning in the year 1071 is when the Muslim Ottoman Turks at the Battle of Mezikert began to invade the Byzantine Empire. And the Byzantine Empire was very proud. They had seen themselves as having inherited the Roman Empire, that when Rome fell in 476 A.D. to the invading Visigoths and Ostrogoths and Angles and Saxons and Jutes and Vandals, these different tribes that overran the Roman Empire, Rome fell in 476 A.D., but the Byzantine Empire lasted almost another 1,000 years. And so the Byzantine Empire viewed itself as having inherited the Roman Empire, and it was very proud.
Hold that thought, William. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cederstrup. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making your way, the only way they know how.
Wayne's Automotive reminds us that a happy holiday means a safe holiday and everyone can work together to make it come true. As we get together at office parties or family functions, let's make sure our friends and loved ones don't have too much to drink. That's Wayne's Automotive for complete auto repair and towing. Call 303-451-6880. They're equipped to have the right men take the very best care of your car. Call 303-451-6880 for towing and repair service. That's Wayne's Automotive at 10651 Irma Drive in North Glen. They're wishing you all a safe and happy holiday season. Have a party, wedding, graduation, summer reunion, backyard birthday, or a backyard get-together to plan? We'll make sure that occasion is extra special and find all of your party needs at Grand Rental Station. Don't go anywhere else for your canopies, chairs, tables, bounce houses, and duck tanks. Grand Rental Station has it all. When planning your next event, be sure to add Grand Rental Station staff of expert consultants to your list for the very best in service and advice. Call your local Grand Rental Station now at 970-532-0144 in Johnstown. The very place for everything to rent. That's Grand Rental Station, 970-532-0144.
Well, I just hear it. That's where Gary is. And he was just talking about what had happened in 1909 in Armenia. I think it's important that the Byzantine Empire was really, of course, was really headed in Constantinople. It was the carrying on of the Christian Empire, which had been created in the eastern half of the Roman Empire. Diocletian broke up the Roman Empire in about 300 A.D. and into the western half, which fell in 476. But the eastern half, which became the Byzantine Empire, lasted until, of course, it was defeated by the Muslims and it became the Ottoman Empire. So, go ahead, William. The trouble is they don't teach history anymore. Most people don't understand that this Christian empire beginning there in Constantinople was the major force in that part of the world until it eventually crumbled and fell about 1,000 years. In the 1400s, 1,000 years after the western part of the Roman Empire fell. Go right ahead.
And the idea is that we, in Western civilization, have been facing Muslim aggression since Islam began, that they conquered all of North Africa. There used to be 250 Catholic dioceses along North Africa. North Africa was Roman. It had the Greek-Roman culture, and it was all wiped out by Islam. And so Spain was conquered by the Muslims, and they held it for 700 years. And then the Muslims began to invade what is today Turkey, but back then it was the Byzantine Empire. The Byzantine Empire was very proud, so it was a big humbling of their pride for them to beg the West for help to fight the Muslim invasion. The West finally did send help. It was called the Crusades, 9 major crusades over 200 years. Richard the Lionheart led the Third Crusade, left his brother King John in charge of England, you know, Sherwood Forest and so forth, Robin Hood. St. Louis was King Louis the Ninth, and he was the King of France. He led the 7th and 8th Crusades against the Muslims. And one of the interesting things is how the Western business people funded the Islamic aggression even back then. So the Venetian and Genoan city-states were merchants, and they would, as the Muslims would conquer areas, they would get monopolies on the trade routes that India had teas, dyes, and spices, and China had gunpowder and spaghetti and coal and these different things that made the Western Europeans want to trade with India and China. And as the Muslims would conquer, they would conquer the trade routes. And so these Venetian and Genoan merchants would trade with the Muslims and give them lots and lots of money. And then the Muslims would turn around and buy military goods from those same merchants. And so here the West was supplying these Muslim Turks with metallurgy so they could make their cannons and all kinds of shipping advancements and so forth. So here we have a scenario where the Byzantine Christian Empire was being invaded by the Muslims, and you had these Venetian and Genoan merchants that were trading and making a buck and providing military goods to these Muslims. And the slight differences between the Byzantine Christians and the Latin Christians were slight in comparison to the Muslims, and but yet you had one side trading and supplies to attack the other side. Why do I bring that up? Well, today we have a lot of merchants that are doing business with the Muslim world and providing them with lots of money. And Saudi Arabia is, 100 years ago, Saudi Arabia was the poorest Muslim country. It was the backwater. It was 130-degree heat, smelly camels, living in tents, no natural assets, mountains of useless sand. And the West, in 1938, discovered oil in the sands of Saudi Arabia. And in one generation, we pumped so much money over there that they became the richest Muslim country. What did they do with the money? They began to export Wahhabi Islam, the violent version of Islam. And they are the number one financiers of building of mosques, not just in America. 9 out of 10 mosques in America are being financed by the Saudis. 10 years ago, there were 3 mosques in Germany. Now they are building over 200, and it's mostly financed through Saudi money. Throughout Africa, the Muslims will go into villages, and with Saudi money, they'll build mosques, and then they'll go around making converts, first enticing them by telling them they'll give them free food and clothes and free education for their children, but then when they get a majority in the village, then it becomes intimidating and threatening if they don't. And so they do that Chicago politics, the bribe or the bullet. And but they have taken over huge areas of the world. But they have been financed with Western money. And so it's very similar to the fall of the Byzantine Empire. The Byzantine Empire had an invincibility complex. They thought they were God's special country, and Constantinople was God's special city because they were all Christian and churches everywhere, and they had survived the invasion of the heathen hordes that caused the Western Roman Empire to fall. And so they were overconfident, and they thought their military was the best and so forth. But the Muslim hordes coming in was one of the problems, but the Western merchants funding the Muslim hordes was the other problem. And so we see a lot of this repeating itself today. And just on the heels of the news of these, this Muslim attempted suicide bombing of a plane flying into Detroit, we remember that 100 years ago, Turkey was in a unique situation. The Muslim Turks took over all the Greek areas of what is today Turkey, but back then it was the Byzantine Empire. And they made the Christians second-class citizens called Dhimmi. where we get the word diminish or dime. The idea of they had to ransom their life once a year. They had to pay the jizya tax, and if they didn't pay their tax, they were open for anybody to steal and kill and so forth. But these Armenians were a country between the Black Sea and the Mediterranean Sea. They were all Christian, and when the 1800s progressed, the Western Europeans developed artillery, and they began to break away. So Romania broke away from the Muslim Ottoman Empire. Serbia broke away from the Muslim Ottoman Empire. Greece broke away. Parts of Poland, parts of Austria broke away. And there was this little country of Armenia that wanted to break away too. And the Muslim Sultan Abdul Hamid in 1895 said no and killed 100,000 of them. Grover Cleveland was our president, and Grover Cleveland said wrote about the bloody butchery of men, women, and children made martyrs to their profession of their Christian faith. He says these outbreaks of blind fury in Turkey occur suddenly and without notice. He talked about the Armenian refugees beginning to appear on our shores of America, and the Sultan Abdul Hamid was chased out of the country of Turkey, and three Turkish generals took over. They were called the Young Turks, and they wanted to restore the Ottoman Empire to its former glory. But to do that, they had a genocidal plan to get rid of all non-Muslims. And they enacted this in a very covert way. In other words, they decided to recruit the Armenian young men into the Turkish military. And they these young Armenian Christians, who had for centuries been forbidden to own weapons, now that they got rid of the Sultan, they were under the impression that Turkey was going to adopt a constitutional government and join the rest of Europe as a civilized nation. And so the young Armenian men joined the military. And they were very proud. They were very disciplined. They wanted to be the best soldiers. And but then the Muslim Ottoman Turks decided to make these Armenians non-combatant soldiers. So they took away all their guns. And so they were doing road construction and chopping down trees and basically serving as pack animals. And then they would get whipped, and then they would be, have to march through the snow 3 feet deep and freezing weather. And they were starved. And then they began to be sent on these road construction assignments in their starved condition, and they were taken over the hill and never seen from again. And then the reports began to come back that they were taken into the woods and shot, or taken into the woods and forced to dig their own graves and then shot. And then they realized that they could save ammunition by just starving them and then killing them with swords. And then they would march, you know, a couple thousand over this hill, and they'd be gone, and a couple thousand into the desert, and they'd be gone. And stories even by Henry Morgenthau, who was the U.S. ambassador to Turkey at the time, wrote about how there was a group of them that they were going to take on a quote-unquote road construction assignment, and they knew what was their fate, that they were going to be killed. And so the Muslims go to a Christian pastor in town. Reminds you of these liberal pastors today. And they convince this pastor that it genuinely was going to be a road construction assignment. And so this pastor goes to the troops and says, "It's going to be okay, it's going to be okay." And they were taken over the hill and killed. And so this guy was played to be the fool. But there were even instances where the Muslims would alert a Muslim village that there were disarmed Armenian Christian infidels that were going to be marching through, and the village would empty itself and storm down the mountainside. And even ladies would have butcher knives because they wanted to participate in killing an infidel Christian, because they could get a special blessing from Allah for killing infidels. And so they systematically, the Turkish military, killed these hundreds of thousands of young Armenian men. Well, there was a byproduct. This masterful stroke rendered all the Armenian cities defenseless. All they had left were old men and women and children. And so that's when the genocide truly began, where they went into these Armenian cities and killed millions of Armenian men, women, and children. You can go on the internet and see pictures of it. They would burn them alive. They would march them into the desert until they fell over dead, and then they would march them off a cliff. There was a Christian church in Smyrna mentioned in the Bible and the book of Revelation, and it was there from the Apostle John's time all the way up until 1922, and that's when the Muslims invaded and they killed them, and just a terrible, terrible tragedy that took place later, years later, when Hitler was asked about how he thought he could get away with exterminating the Jews. He said, well, the world did nothing when the millions of Armenian Christians were killed. And so this was an inspiration to Hitler. A lot of these Armenians came to America as refugees. We went to California, and lo and behold, they settled in an area that elected Nancy Pelosi in Congress, and Nancy Pelosi promised them that she would have America recognize the Armenian genocide. And it was introduced in Congress several years ago, but Congress voted it down. So here, Germany has to recognize the German genocide and Holocaust, but the Muslim Turks don't, because they didn't want to offend the Muslims in Turkey. Yet this is something that, when you understand that Islam is a religion of pride, they call it honor, but it's pride, and so for them to have to admit this would be a great embarrassment, and would cause when Islam is honored, it expands. When it's embarrassed, it contracts. And
hold that. We'll be back in just a moment with William Federer right here at the American Film Network.
Have a wedding, New Year's party, business conference, seminar, or holiday event coming up and can't seem to find that place that brings affordability and excellence together? Look no further. Celebrate the season with the redesigned Sable Landing Event Center, now open for your special occasions. Easily accessible and conveniently located 1.5 miles east of I-25 off Highway 119 at the Longmont Firestone exit. Sable Landing will delight your senses and impress your guests with stunning holiday lights, a peaceful garden courtyard, and beautifully lit fountain. Attention to detail and outstanding service is yours. Don't wait. It's peak season, so reserve your place now. Call for your private showing and ask how KHNC listeners can save hundreds on booking your wedding and special event now. 303-651-6427. That's affordable excellence at Sable Landing Event Center. That's 303-651-6427.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs. But we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Wildbird Center takes this opportunity to remind area drivers the safe operation of a motor vehicle and the consumption of alcohol do not mix. When you do take to the road this holiday season, take along the three C's of safety: caution, courtesy, and common sense. That's from your friends at the Wildbird Center, where Candace Stewart and staff are always working to make our area a safer place for our youth. For the highest quality products and friendly service, committed to education and conservation, call today, 758-7575. That's the Wildbird Center at 1685 South Colorado Boulevard in Denver. Call 758-7575 and mention you heard this community announcement. They wish you all a happy season.
This is George Flynn of Words of Freedom. iMoneyCoach.com's financial experts understand the forces that have brought our economy to where it is today and the difficult times ahead. For under $200, the online financial courses at iMoneyCoach.com will give you the power, insight, and tools you need to successfully navigate the coming financial storm. Gain thousands of dollars of training materials and videos in this 10-course program for under $200. Check out iMoneyCoach.com. That's iMoneyCoach.com.
Well, I stand back here, and one of the things that has brought out is, what about the analogy between our young men being sent overseas to fight and die in foreign lands today and in the defense of freedom? But what happens if there was to be, perhaps something would happen over there, and we were to lose all of the men we have overseas, perhaps an expansion of the war, a nuclear attack? Then who would there be to defend our homeland when all of our troops are around the world maintaining the American Empire, just as the Roman troops were overseas maintaining the Roman Empire, or the Armenian young men were off fighting, having joined the army, and then being destroyed by the very army that they joined to defend? Well, Cindy, before we go on, William, I'd like you to get your website out, and then we'll go on with this amazing story.
My website's AmericanMinute.com. That's AmericanMinute.com, and you can sign up for my free daily email called The American Minute there, as well as look at a lot of my books, and one of them that's popular is What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran. It's a history of Islam in the United States, which is what a lot of the information that I'm sharing about today comes from.
And that's a very, very good book. We do carry it, and we encourage people to get it. What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran. Go right ahead.
Well, so here we have a situation where the Muslim leaders in Turkey had a plan, and the plan was implemented in steps. The first step was they recruited the Armenian young men into the military. The second step was to disarm them and make them non-combatant soldiers. The third step was to kill them. The fourth step was, now that the Armenian cities were left undefended, they went in and did a genocide and killed nearly 2 million Armenian unarmed men, women, and children between 1915 and 1922. And Teddy Roosevelt was trying to get America to come to Armenians' rescue. He was doing speeches all around America. Woodrow Wilson was the president at the time, and he was trying to get America to adopt Armenia as a protectorate. Britain had taken a part of the old Ottoman Empire, which was Iraq, Palestine, and Egypt. France took a part of the old Ottoman Empire, which was the Lebanon and the Syria. They wanted America to take a part of the old Ottoman Empire, Armenia. And we said no, that we had a Republican Senate that didn't want to get involved in a civil war in a Muslim country on the other side of the world, so we said no. So Woodrow Wilson went to the European powers after the 1919 Paris Peace Conference and got them to sign on recognizing Armenia as an independent nation. And he actually issued a certificate of congratulations and said that that the rest of the world welcomes Armenia into the civilized world, and you know, and all of them agreed to recognize, and the leaders, the Young Turks, the Ataturk, the different leaders in Turkey thumbed their nose at this United Nations resolution. Of course, back then it was the League of Nations, but it was very similar to what Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is doing in Iran today, where these European powers are giving these useless proclamations saying that they're not supposed to be developing nuclear weapons in Iran, and Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is thumbing his nose at the United Nations, the same way that the Turks thumb their nose at the League of Nations. And so the League of Nations, with Woodrow Wilson, recognized Armenia as an independent country. These Turks just totally ignored it and proceeded with a genocide. And so here we have Iran today developing nuclear weapons, and the United Nations shakes its little finger and says, you shouldn't do that, and they're just ignoring the United Nations and going ahead and proceeding with it anyway. And so the question that some people are wondering is the president moving our troops into a situation where they are going to be placed in a in an ambush? Are they that clearly his goal is not victory against Islamic terrorism? He gave his speech to the military, and President Obama did not mention the word victory one time, and that he waited months before even talking to the general in charge of our military forces over there. He waited months to send reinforcements. He clearly has no, he's never served in the military. All he's done was be a community organizer for ACORN before he became president. That he hadn't worked any other job and certainly had not been in the military. That his affinities are clearly with Islam. When the Iranian citizens demonstrated after their rigged election, the president did nothing and basically sent a message to Iran that they could proceed in cracking down on their dissidents, and that America would do nothing. And then we look through a litany that people are beginning to connect dots, and they see that when a candidate Obama for president in February 27th of 2007 was being interviewed by the New York Times, that he recited Muslim prayers in Arabic and said that they were one of the prettiest sounds on earth at sunset. And then later, the president, in an interview, candidate Obama mistakenly said to George Stephanopoulos, on September 7th, 2008, he said that Senator McCain had not made an issue of his Muslim faith. And then when he was elected, beforehand, people were not supposed to mention that his middle name was Hussein, which is the name of Muhammad's grandson. But after he's elected, he is very proud of that. He made news April of 2009 when he bowed to the Saudi King Abdullah. And the Saudi Arabia is where Mecca is, and one of the five pillars of Islam is a pilgrimage in your life to Mecca. And so the Saudi king is, in a sense, like the godfather of Islam, and so bowing to him sends huge messages to the Muslim world. President Obama says America is not a Christian nation. Just a week later, April 6th of 2009, President Obama appoints Arif Alakhan, who is a devout Muslim, to a key position in Homeland Security of May 6, 2009. President Obama then decides not to recognize the National Day of Prayer, which is a traditional Judeo-Christian acknowledgement, May 6, 2009. And then in June of 2009, the president says that America is one of the largest Muslim countries in an interview in Europe. And then June 5th of 2009, he appoints Syrian-born devout Muslim Karim Shora to a key position in the Homeland Security. And then in August of 2009, the president broadcasts a Ramadan message to Muslims of the world. And he makes clear his familiarity with Islam by making Muslim Arabic pronunciation of Muslim phrases. Talks about the Holy Quran and talks about it as an inspired faith, so forth. Then the president, September 1st, 2009, publicly recognizes Ramadan at a dinner in the White House. And
hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment at the American Freedom Network.
An An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
The people of Rush Housing Authority believe that respect and care for the elderly is important year-round. With the busy holiday season upon us, we must remember our seniors. Remember by offering a helping hand with chores, giving rides, or simply taking time to visit and make sure they're safe. Letting them know you care could be the greatest gift you give this year. That's from the Brush Housing Authority, who say our area is a great place to live, work, and raise our families. That's the Brush Housing Authority. For more information on programs, call 842-5046.
Even in good times, adoptive parents often face more challenges than other families. When times get tough, these challenges can become overwhelming. But help is at hand for Colorado families that have adopted through the child welfare system. Since 2003, Colorado Post-Adoption Resource Center, COPARC for short, has assisted more than 2,000 families statewide with support, training, information, and financial aid. For each family, there is a story. For the family of two special needs siblings, COPARC means tutoring for their daughter and braces for their son. For the adoptive parents of five, COPARC means needed respite childcare so that they can attend a parenting seminar together. For the single adoptive mother of a son with autism, COPARC means finding the special services she needs to help her son relate to others. A helping hand, a network of support. COPARC is funded by Promoting Safe and Stable Families Program, Colorado Department of Human Services, Division of Child Welfare, and the Adoption Exchange. Visit adopttex.org. Or call 1-800-451-5246.
Well, I hello, I'm so William, is just a question. Have on my webpage under special videos how to wear President Obama by Stephanopoulos and refers to the fact that Senator McCain did not refer to my Muslim faith during the campaign. Is it possible that we've been lied to? Well, you can actually see it on them with your own eyes and hear it with your own ears. And, of course, his professor, his support for the Muslim faith. And yet he's sending our boys over there to protect this. Or are we going to be protected? Are they simply going to be, when the incident, and I believe a major incident is going to occur there, are simply tens of thousands of them going to die? Go right ahead.
Well, then President Obama appoints Dalia Moggahed. She is the first full-veiled Muslim woman to be a White House advisor, and she is born in Egypt as a devout Muslim. In October 4th of 2009, she was in London on a Muslim television program, Muslima Dilemma, hosted by Ibtal Biss, and there she said that Sharia law was misunderstood, that it was actually gender justice. Now, Sharia law is where a man can beat his wife, Surah 434, if she does not obey him. Sharia law is that the woman cannot go out in public without being veiled, that the woman gets half the inheritance that a man gets, that it takes two women to testify in court against a man. And here she is on television in London as a United States presidential White House advisor dressed with her full veil on, and she is saying that Sharia law is gender justice. Now, why would the president appoint somebody like that? So we see that the president has an affinity toward the Islamic agenda, and we see that he has not said anything to highlight or to praise the traditional Judeo-Christian values of America that are still held, by the way, by 78% of the country, according to a Pew Religious Landscape survey. That 78% of Americans identify themselves as Christian, but 52% Protestant and 25% Catholic. In no speech has he praised the contributions of the Judeo-Christian belief system in the formation of America. The only message that he has is he said that America is, whatever it was, America is no longer a Christian nation. So we see that his affinity is with Islam. It's not with the traditional values that America was built upon. And so the question arises, since he is familiar with Islamic history, in his speech in Cairo, he recited all kinds of different instances of Islamic history. Is he familiar with what happened in Armenia? Is he familiar with the Armenian genocide? Is he familiar with how this took place? And is he putting our troops in harm's way intentionally? Now, one of the things that people are looking at is the new rules of engagement that the president has authorized. Now, these put our American troops at a disadvantage in the war, that they want to make extra sure that no civilians are killed, and so it puts our troops in harm's way even more. Then we see instances where a Al-Qaeda terrorist who had been responsible for killing and murdering, burning the bodies of several Marines, several of our soldiers, that some Navy SEALs were able to courageously go in and capture this Muslim terrorist, this Al-Qaeda member, and bring this person to the military encampment. And in the course of capturing him, he got a bloody lip. And instead of supporting our troops, President Obama has approved of court-martialing these courageous young soldiers who risked their life to get this Muslim terrorist who had been responsible for killing American soldiers. And yet he's doing the court-martial over there, so it's not taking place in America in the view of the American media. It's not taking place in New York City. But at the same time, the president is giving an international platform to the Muslim terrorists who planned 9/11. There's even been rumors that the Muslims are going to build a mosque near the where the World Trade Center was taken down. So it's sort of adding insult to injury. And we see that, again, the president has surrounded himself with three groups of people: those that are promoting a homosexual agenda, those that are promoting an Islamic agenda, and those that are promoting a communist socialist agenda. In no place are there any evangelical Christians on any of his cabinet staff or any of his czars. So we see that he has been bringing change. The question specifically, after the foiled attempt of this suicide bomber, is the ideology of Islam behind terrorist attacks, and the president's increasing affinity with the enemies of America, as far as with Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and Hugo Chavez and so forth, and his distancing himself from traditional American values. And so the question is he following a blueprint that took place in Armenia, where these young, hard-working Armenian young men who joined the military were put in harm's way intentionally? My prayer is that that is not the case, but I definitely would like to see some proof of the president standing up to Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and a greater support of our troops. So here, the scenario is that if Iran is allowed to develop nuclear weapons, and they do have missiles that can hit Israel, they also would have missiles that could hit our American troops in Afghanistan.
We're out of time, William. God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us. Always a pleasure. Talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsor's fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Through no fault of their own, many people may be hurting this holiday season. Do what you can to help by donating food, clothing, toys, or money to your local church, civic group, or favorite charity. Let's make this a nice holiday for everyone. That's from Terry and her fine family and staff at Teresa's Not Just Heroes at 141 East 4th Street in Loveland. Call 663-9594. That's 663-9594. Or stop in for great food and great atmosphere and a great staff. They're on the air because they care and are wishing everyone a safe, happy, and healthy holiday season.
This is George Flynn of SelfDefenseGuns.com. Our concealed carry classes meet the training requirements to obtain a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit, as well as non-resident Utah and Florida. We feel very strongly that ladies should exercise their right to carry and protect themselves and their loved ones. That's why our Annie Oakley special allows any student to bring a lady to our classes for free. Visit SelfDefenseGuns.com or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
Well, Dr. Stan, we hope you enjoyed our interview with William Federer. Always provocative, always all sorts of fascinating information. And you need to look at things from a historical point of view to understand what is going on today. So, certainly, let me suggest to you, if you have not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or seen the DVD, shame on you, you need to get this. It will help you to begin to correlate what's going on today, because so much of it doesn't make sense. Then, of course, our talk on the Forbidden Secret, it's available on DVD with the syllabus. Our talk on the financial Armageddon, and who Barack Obama really is. I mean, is there an invisible force behind Barack Obama that no one is telling you about? Who really runs our society? Well, certainly my talk on the financial Armageddon, along with the syllabus, is vitally important. And then, of course, we have Pat Wood's wonderful talk on the Trilateral Commission on DVD. Certainly our talk on the planned police state with the syllabus. Our talk on the planned population reduction. There is a plan to reduce the population of this country and the rest of the world. Of course, the Obama health care plan, or as I call it, the Kevorkian health care plan, which is going to deprive the elderly of certainty of medical care. That's the whole idea. As Barack Obama said, I can't get federal spending under control unless I can get Medicare spending under control. And there's going to be massive cutbacks. Oh, not initially, but down the line, this is all carefully planned out. And Obama was chosen as the one to bring in this program for euthanasia to encourage withholding medical care from the elderly, because they're going to die anyway. And suddenly the whole moral perspective of our society is changing. And you'll understand who is behind Barack Obama when you hear I talk on the financial Armageddon. And then our talk on the planned population reduction. We have another talk on Nundare College genocide, another talk on population control. These are available from Radio Liberty, as well as so many other tape sets. Do you know what really happened when the USS Liberty was attacked in 1967? That how the American sailors on board that ship were threatened with death they were threatened with death if they ever dared tell what they saw. And many of them lived in constant fear for 20 years until one by one they had the courage to come forward and tell the truth. And we have the interviews with these men. We have a DVD, a video. We have the USS Liberty special. You need to get this information. You are welcome to copy my 4-tape set. And I can't give you permission to copy the video and DVD, but we have them. You need to get this information out. We have a 4-tape set on the murder of Martin Luther King. And, of course, the trial that was held at the behest of his family. Not a word of it in the controlled media. We have a 4-tape set on deadly assassins, and even talk with a man who tracked down the man who was hired to kill General Patton. We have the book on Target Patton. They killed General Patton. Why? Because he was going to come home and tell the American people that he was ready to suddenly to attack, you know, go out across Germany with his Panzer divisions and take Berlin, and they cut off his gasoline supply. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. Please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty. Until tomorrow.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online.